My guest at this time is Larry Haas. He is a former spokesman for the Clinton White House Budget Office. He also served as communications director for Vice President Al Gore. And he is the author of Sound the Trumpet, The United States and Human Rights Promotion. As you heard just a moment ago, he's spent a lot of time around the U.S. federal budget. And this week in the House of Representatives, members on both sides of the aisle offered up their versions of where they think the country ought to head fiscally over the next year and really over the next 10 years. And Larry, thanks so much for being with us.
Nice to be here, Greg.
Let's start with the budget the president put forward earlier this year. The Republicans brought that for a vote on Wednesday night, and it failed unanimously. Is that a message from Democrats to the president, or is that more of a message to the Republican leadership in the House?
Members do not like to vote for pain when on an item that's not really going anywhere. The president's budget wasn't going anywhere. The other budgets that were voted on this week are not going anywhere. And all of those budgets have some element of political pain in them, raising taxes in some way under the president's budget along with some spending cuts. And obviously the Republican budget's not raising taxes, but very deep spending cuts. And there's really no gain for voting for these kind of things if they're not serious documents that are likely to work their way through the political process. So in that sense, it's really the self-interest of a member to just take a pass and vote no.
Larry, at the same time, it's supposedly the responsibility of these chambers to come up with something. So what can we best hope for here, given that the two chambers obviously are under the control of different parties and probably won't see eye to eye?
Well, the movement of budget resolutions or presidential budgets through the process have been, even in years when the parties eventually came together, they have been largely sideshows. That is, budgets come up and one party tries to send a signal about another party. So, for instance, the Republicans bring up the Obama budget, it gets voted down, they're trying to send a signal that the president's not popular. The Republican budget gets put up this week, and all Democrats vote no because they're trying to make a statement that they don't like the Republican budget. That's not really the issue. The issue is there anything else happening behind the scenes where the parties are really trying to come together in a serious negotiation? Now, we saw negotiations last year. At the moment, we don't have serious negotiations going on, and that's actually the bigger problem, and that's what should concern us right now, not the sideshows that are taking place in the House or in the Senate all over Capitol Hill, not the public stuff, the private stuff that's not happening.
Larry, let's talk about the budget that did pass the House, and as we both mentioned, it's not likely to get any traction in the Senate, but that's the plan authored by House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan. He wants to slash, depending on the estimates, anywhere from $3 to $5 trillion in projected spending over the next 10 years. He wants to tackle Medicare reform to prevent insolvency. At the same time, he wants to reform, simplify, and lower the tax code. I know based on your writings and our previous conversations, you disagree with a lot of those provisions, but what do you see as the impact of the Ryan plan if, in fact, it were to be pursued?
Well, look, the Ryan plan crystallizes the differences between the parties. The problem on a policy side is that he tries to cut taxes so much, particularly for those who are already doing well, that if we were to try to balance the budget under that scenario, it would virtually wipe out a federal role in almost anything other than Social Security, Medicare, and defense. And that's not the kind of budget that the American people are going to ever support, not in the modern era. We're talking about wiping out federal aid to education, homeland security, environmental protection, food safety. I mean, the guts of the domestic side of government that people have grown very accustomed to and that people have come to expect. And I don't see them going back to the 1920s. So that budget is very much out of step with the current thinking of the broad cross-section of the American people. And I don't mean just Democrats. I mean the broad cross-section of the American people.
We're talking with Larry Haas, former budget spokesman for the Clinton administration. He's also a former communications director to Vice President Al Gore. Larry, we talked before about how Democrats voted no on a lot of this because they just didn't want to be attached to something that could potentially be unpopular and had no chance to go anywhere. But overall, where do you think most Democrats lie on where the nation's budget ought to go? Are they largely in line with what the president tried to do with some changes if they were to actually think it would go somewhere, or there are some significant differences emerging between the president and members of his own party?
I think they're largely together. They certainly would raise taxes. They certainly would start with people on the upper end of the income scale. So I don't think there's much difference by way of the vision for the revenue side of the budget. Where they differ is that the president would cut more deeply into entitlement programs. He would take a more serious look at health care benefits and a more serious look at Social Security benefits than a lot of Democrats on Capitol Hill. At the end of the day, I do believe that if Republicans would bend a little bit when it came to tax increases, I think that Democrats would grudgingly go along with the president on entitlement cuts. Not a guarantee, but I think they would be there. But if there's a difference between the president and most Democrats on the Hill, it's not on the tax side of things, it's on the spending side of things.
On the tax hike front, do you believe that most Democrats insist on marginal rate increases, certainly for the wealthy? Or we've certainly heard talk, especially from the debt ceiling talks on down, that there could potentially be a deal to lower marginal rates in exchange for closing a lot of the loopholes. What are Democrats more likely to embrace?
Well, there's no question the Democrats would start with raising taxes on upper-income Americans. And frankly, this idea of cutting marginal rates and closing loopholes is far more significant than it seems. You know, when you talk about closing loopholes, it sounds really quite easy. But the real money when it comes to tax credits and deductions and other write-offs are not in what people like you and me think of as loopholes. They're in things that are very popular. The tax-free treatment of employer-provided health care, the home mortgage interest deduction, the federal deduction for state and local taxes that people pay, the deduction for charitable giving. I mean, average people don't see those as loopholes. They see those as, frankly, the tax equivalent of entitlement programs. So we're not really talking about closing loopholes. So when it comes to cutting marginal rates and so-called closing loopholes, this is going to run into trouble as soon as people open their eyes and see that we're really not talking about loopholes. We're talking about benefits that tens of millions of Americans have come to expect.
A couple of questions left for Larry Haas. Larry, you mentioned that most Democrats want to see tax increases. You've certainly called for that regularly. Obviously, it's an election year. Do you think that's a winning argument against the Republicans saying absolutely not?
No, and we're not going to see action this year. We're going to see a lot of drama, but we're not going to see action before the election. I'm relatively sure of that. Basically, where we're headed is into the following. A lot of show before the election. Then after the election, a lame duck session of some kind. And the parties are going to do one of two things. They are either going to come together on a real budget plan, or more likely, they are going to basically extend everything that's due to expire at the end of the year, all of President Bush's tax cuts and some of President Obama's tax cuts, for some period of time, 6 months or a year. And the hope will be that in that period of time, there will be very serious negotiations and the two parties can come together so that by the end of 2013, at the latest, we will have the budget back on a sustainable path. I don't know what the odds of that are, but this is the scenario that many people in Washington are talking about.
Larry, we'll have to leave it there. As always, great to have you with us. Thank you.
Nice to be here, Greg.
Larry Haas was spokesman for the Clinton White House Budget Office, communications director for Vice President Al Gore. He's also the author of the forthcoming book, Sound the Trumpet, The United States and Human Rights Promotion. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.